to the podcast, where we talk about all the things that are hidden in the shadows.
This is Isaac. On this bonus episode, I am joined by Cody and Munsey from Night Trackers Paranormal. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, buddy? Yeah, we're good, man. Excited to do this for sure.
Now, you guys reach out to us on the podcast. How did you guys hear about us?
I think I was following you, or we were following each other, or one or the other was following. And, you know, lately we've been talking about reaching out with other groups, doing collabs with other paranormal investigations, like for episodes, just overall, you know, just bringing everybody to the table. You know, like this is something we really love to do. So, you know, we reach out to everybody that we think is friendly and, of course, legit.
Yeah. If you know anything about my paranormal investigations that me and my wife do with Hidden Shadows Paranormal, you'll know that we're kind of in a league of our own when it comes to what we do, but that's conversation for later. But what you got you guys, I know everyone has their origin story, so what got them to the paranormal, but what essentially got you guys into investigating, wanting to do this?
It started a long time ago. I was a child. I was born and raised in South Carolina, and my mom had a company called Blythewood Paranormal Research Team, where her and a crew were doing investigations, not like for episodes or, you know, for anything like that. It was just them genuinely doing stuff and services. I started practicing with her doing that at about 12, or excuse me, actually a little bit earlier than that. But by the time I was 12, I was already like going on investigations and stuff for fun. None of the like more serious stuff. And then as I got older, you know, she kind of allowed me to tag along more, learn a lot more. And yeah, so I didn't get to do that for a handful of years just because of, you know, moving and stuff like that. And then I came out here to Utah from South Carolina, and then eventually came across, you know, my partner, and we got together, and that's how we got together, because we sparked the conversation on, like, you know, studies, demonology and paranormal, just all different types of stuff. And yeah, it intrigued us. So, you know, that's it basically up and decided to make a channel together and like go full fledged.
So you were actually, were actually born into the investigation game. You're like second generation.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, since a child, it was like life, you know, I'm watching my mom do it and my uncles and stuff like that. And some of her friends, and they formed a crew, made a company, and I just followed it up. But like I said, it got dropped for so long. So when I came across her, she was into that, you know, it was kind of uncommon. You don't like find partners, you know, these days that, you know, want to do that, let alone, you know, full-fledged be your partner and just go at it, you know, go and not be scared and get, just dive head in.
There you find ones that were kind of scared at the beginning, but now they're perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually her.
Monte, how did you get into it?
With me, honestly, it was like my son. I've always been like scared of like the unknown. But when my son was born, I realized that he was looking at spirits. So instead of being like the normal parent of like, hey, there's nothing there, you're crazy, I actually decided to like learn more about it so that I could educate myself for my son. And as I was educating myself, it's like, I don't know, it was like I was flooded with like all of these things happening, and it just kind of went from there. I started practices, started like diving more into spirituality, learning more about spirits, entities, things like that.
You took an interest in the spiritual realm. Is that you were just interested in it, or did you have a inkling of being a psychic medium or trying to awaken some, maybe some dormant abilities?
That's a great question. So I was initially just interested in it. After that, I felt like I started developing some of like psychic mediumship, where I was having actually spirits like contact me in forms of like sounds. And it tended to happen a lot as I was falling asleep, since I'm assuming that's when like my mind was like kind of like more calm or centered. And it kind of went from there.
And how long have you guys been investigating together?
Together, we're pushing about a year of investigating together.
And individually, do you guys do stuff on your own?
No, we're always together. You know, we even like to tag along every now and again, but, you know, say again.
I meant before you guys met. How did you guys do investigating before you guys met?
No, not her so much. Like, you know, when we first got together, she was like not skeptical, but more like eerie of going herself. And like you said, you know, she kind of found a liking for it and a comfort for it later, you know, into us doing it. But she was open-minded to it. She loved it and the idea of it. And you know me, I took a few years off of doing it between South Carolina and Utah, but there was things that I would do on my own, you know, like just like the typical going on a walk in the graveyard and just pulling out tools here and there just to kind of see what you get. But with her, we literally met like that. And the first time I actually got invited to come inside the house, you know, as a you know partner of hers, that's kind of how it went. It was like, look, I'm just gonna be honest with you, my house is really active. And I'm like, she's full of shit. She just wants to impress me because she knows, you know, the things that I like and et cetera. But she wasn't lying, you know. We really had a run for my money going into her house.
What did you experience?
Well, at first it was like stuff being knocked down. So she, you know, is of Mexican descent. She comes from Mexico, and you know they practice brujeria and like you know all these different crafts, which aren't bad things. You know, there's good and bad to everything, and she's not bad. But she, you know, she was doing her things, and where her altars stand, there is an extremely high EMF reading on it 24/7, and there's no electronics there. There's nothing there that should be making that happen. Her altars are completely clear and are just batteryless. You know, there's nothing there of electronic and you know nature. And you scan the EMF on it every time, it's going through the roof, like you know, crazy numbers. So stuff like that, stuff falling off of the altars. You know, one day we're chilling on the couch watching a movie together, and I tried this method that I found, and it sounds a little silly to most, you know, investigators until you actually try it a few times. But I was with my mom one time, and you know, I was having, you know, a smoke. And basically, usually I wouldn't smoke inside of places because you're doing like house calls, so you got to be professional and whatnot. But anyways, we're inside this structure, a building one day, abandoned, and I pulled on to take a hit, and I, when I blew the smoke out, I literally, shit you not, feel like the smoke went and then it stopped and went straight up as if it came to some sort of barrier, you know, hinting at that, you know, could have may have been something right there in front of me. So I thought, holy shit, I'm gonna use that in a joking manner. But you know, so I never did again on another investigation, but I did when, you know, me and her started hanging out. We're sitting there chilling and watching a movie and stuff like that, and I start smoking a little bit, and then when I blow the smoke out, literally, it's like it goes and hits a barrier, just like back in the day when I was a kid, and I watched it go up, and it's like it was something right there that we weren't seeing, and we both watched it and was like, holy shit, that looked like it hit something. It tripped us the hell out. So that's literally where it started. And then from there, it was the stuff I was telling you, like stuff falling, hearing noises. We would literally hear stomping across the house, no one home, doom, 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 loud, you know, shaking us up. And you know, that's really like your typical day in the house. Like, I wouldn't say it's every single day. It's probably more like once a week, maybe sometimes once a month. It goes up and down. Like, you know, just a few days ago, I was in the kitchen and we both heard what sounded like a man grunting, super disembodied. So, you know, it's like it's faint, but it's there. I pull on my phone camera and press record, and we're listening, and then go and press stop and listen back. And just the phone camera itself caught what we were hearing, and it sounded like someone in pain. And we're like, holy shit, like, okay, you know, we don't want to do an investigation on our own house and put like, you know, our public address out there, or excuse me, our private address publicly like that for everyone to see where we're at. But if it wasn't for that, yeah, we'd probably do an investigation at our own house. You know, we might just do it one day and block the address or something.
The smoke thing, actually, I can't remember if it was Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures, but this had to be 2010, 2009. I can't remember who did it. But essentially, they used a smoke machine with lasers to create some kind of a grid that you can see. So if something crossed past, the smoke would stir up in a closed, controlled location. So that smoke thing actually, yeah. I've never seen anyone do smoke machines again since then, though. I don't know. Maybe
That actually
something.
sounds pretty freaking rad. I think I'd rather try that because you got a lot more smoke, you know, and like you said, a laser grid, when you got lasers and smoke together, you can just see the lasers right through the smoke. So, you know, any disturbance in that field, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I saw it done with, but no one's ever done it since then. And I don't know. I guess it's a real pain in the butt to set up, or it's too costly. It seems cheaper just to buy like a couple of REM pods or cat balls or anything that seems to be cheap to get you started. But that'd be something to try and test. It's funny. You guys almost sound well opposite of me and my wife because I am. I know it don't sound like it in my voice, but I'm of Hispanic descent. Essentially, my father's from Mexico when he came over to America. My mom. Well, she's Mexican too, but you would never know that by talking to her. And then my wife, of course, is Italian, but you wouldn't think about looking at her either because she's pale as a ghost.
That's what we are. She's Mexican from Mexico City. My family's from San Siro and Salerno, Italia.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird coincidence.
Yeah, it's pretty cool though.
Yeah. Anyway, no, but yeah, how you guys described like your early relationship. Me and the missus, our early relationship was how every time I come over to her place, at her parents' place, the house was haunted. I experienced all my mate, well, not all of them. All my major hauntings happened on the ranch I grew up on, but with her, it was a lot more than I bargained for. But luckily, because she thought she would scare me away when she told me all her stuff that happened to her since she was a kid, and I was like, "Nah, you found the right guy. I'm actually into this kind of stuff."
Literally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not going to scare me away. But what do you guys do to prepare for an investigation?
Okay, good question. So she has her own studies of beliefs and practices. So, she goes about things her way specifically, like, she might have sayings and stuff like that. She might go through phrases with herself, cleanse herself. Whatever she feels necessary, I guess it like depicts on like what type of location we're dealing with. If it's like a house call that we kind of half-ass believe in, we just go and do it, and then we more cleanse ourselves and close out appropriately after that. If we feel off the gate like, oh shit, this might be amped up, this might be crazy, we'll probably do like a some form of self-cleansing on each other, help each other cleanse each other. And just get in the right state of mind. Like I'm really big on preaching confidence when you do what we do. Like I think it's really vital that you're confident in your head when you're going into these places, because it helps a lot. That's why, some people get think it's like, they frown upon using provocation and stuff in investigations. I don't think there's anything wrong with provocation unless, you're in a house that you need to be respectful. It's just we're, theoretically, we're just looking at spirits of someone who may have passed away of good nature. So we don't want to go in there being disrespectful. We just want to chat and get what we can get. But if we're at a place where it's amped up, there might be evil or there might be something bad that we don't know. Yeah, that's a whole nother story. Maybe not use provocation, just just, or excuse me, maybe I will use provocation in that sense and amp it up a little bit more to get activity, because I don't really care to be respectful to something that's, taunting people or messing with kids, if you get what I mean. So,
What do you guys do to cleanse each other? You mentioned that. So what do you use?
well, she'll break that down for you.
well, for the most part, I use like Palo Santo. I work a lot with like Archangel Michael and my own like spiritual team. So we'll just like go ahead and we'll do like smoke cleanse. I also have like my own bottle of a mixture of holy water with Florida water that I usually charge like for new moons. It's a new moon rep it's like a what is it called? Like the dark moon, and rep it can help for a lot for protection. So we'll do that.
Yeah, pretty stuff like that's pretty common for us. If we don't have anything on hand and we're just like so psyched and head over heels to get somewhere, we don't have anything, we'll just talk to each other, kind of put each other at peace. So I want to note something real quick. We're actually,
No, I think it's a cat.
okay, we're at her mom's house right now, and we did an investigation here, and it was actually pretty fucking crazy. So we're hearing noises and we're like, hold on a second. But no, anyways, it's the cat.
All right, no, if anything dark comes investigating it, I'll take care of it, but I'll explain later. Remind me after the interview, I can explain everything. But there's a question that when I was listening to past investigations and other paranormal first stuff, I heard a story about a place called Hell House, and it's in England. And what was strange, and this is what made me start looking, branching out to all forms of faiths throughout the world and things throughout history when it comes to a sense of protection. Because Hell House was a situation in England that happened, I believe, in the 80s, that what was there was older than Christianity. So when a priest came in to do an exorcism, it didn't work. It actually made it worse. But when a shaman, or I believe she was a witch or shaman or something like that, came in and performed some kind of clearing with what they knew, it left. Because then she explained to why it worked is because this was older than Christianity. This was older than any provocation that Christ could do. So besides the moon water, probably that's a good idea, and some other things that, but do you guys ever look into stones?
Yes, so I always we're always charged with like obsidian, what is it called? Selenite, amethyst, blue jasper, sorry, not blue jasper, red jasper, since it helps a lot with grounding. Yeah, we always have that stuck in with us, and like I made him wear one because he was so stubborn.
No, believe me, I never took much stock in stones until after I became an investigator. And then when I noticed the bracelet that was made for me by a team member, the original team I joined, the crystals and all the stones were cracked after investigation. So I was like, holy crap, this took a beating at the location we're at. So
Oh,
like this
yes.
legit.
Yes.
So after that, I invested in stones. I have a lot of black stones in our home, a lot of obsidian, a lot of tourmaline.
Tourmaline.
Yeah.
Tourmaline.
Anything blackstone related, we have immense amount in this home. But then
Definitely.
we have a good working with Starton Family Crystals. They're kind of our provider of stones because she gets all her stuff directly from Africa and pure sources. But use them, by the way. Shout out for her. But yeah, I suggest using her, whoever you go to get your stones. But I always go to her because she always gives us good deals. In your investigations, what do you consider is your favorite equipment to use?
It's been changing a lot lately, to be honest. I think we'll always love, I used to not be so big in the apps until I started getting like, stuff that could actually be considered compelling. I think the I wanted to say it's called Necrometer, is a decent one every now and again. And then Spirit Talker, that's just for apps as far as like apps go. Like we might break those out during investigations.
Spirit box has
Spirit
been
box.
definitely really good to us
That's more
lately.
newer for us because we've always had the spirit box and we've always used the spirit box. But if I'm being honest, it's like the reason they made the portal, right? Or excuse me, I got to be more specific. There's a crew, they actually sponsor us called Revatively Paranormal. They make like some of the best SLS, XLSs. They make anything you need. But so we got a spirit box, and like initially it has so much like interference that sometimes it's hard to depict, and you really got to get an ear for it and learn to depict, something coming through and like, just some bogus shit. So, that's kind of why they ended up inventing other things that like there was a new device, invented after the spirit box. I can't recall the name of all this. It's something portal, but yeah, it basically essentially is a spirit box that filters out all the bullshit, and you're only getting the clear response vocal through instead of any other frequencies. So that was the kind of thing that made me like steer away from the spirit box. But then recently we started using it more, and yeah, we got some pretty damn good catches, man. And I mean literally some really really cool shit. We just released the episode a couple of days ago at a house call we did, and we did end off with the spirit box, and I think it helped a lot because not only did we get good ass answers that kind of helped us know what was going on in the house, or at least have an idea, but when we turned it off, we got a full-fledged voice before leaving the house. It's like we were just talking to each other, and I go, "If you want to make a noise, can you do it right now?" And you just hear the weirdest, eerie voice go like, "Ah," or like some weird, like movie witch sounding shit that I've never heard out loud. At first, I thought it was a door creaking, but when we turned the cameras off, we made sure of that. There wasn't a cabinet, no doors, none of that. There was no animals inside or nothing like that to note. And yeah, it really tripped us out. So I think the spirit box for sure. It's always fun to use ovilus type devices, or any type of spirit talking device that to have on hand is, I think, at least vital, because it helps kind of create that that communication.
The rods are pretty good too. They're one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's her thing. She loves bulling out the rods and hitting questions with those. She does seem to get a good response out of that. So
Oh, dowsing rods. I was trying to remember you're talking about. Yeah. I wouldn't, I again, never put much stock in the paranormal apps, but the few that I see that have the most accurate answers are Necrophonics and Ghost Tube. Ghost Tube being one by, like, it basically, it's an arbalist that we have. It's the most accurate. And another one that, Ghost Tube Seer, it's a seer app, which essentially takes an AI generated photo of whatever sets off the seer app together. So you're aiming your camera around and it automatically takes a picture and you hear a ding go off and then it produces an AI image of what it thinks it caught. Sometimes it was related to what we see and sometimes it doesn't make sense whatsoever. But we've actually about more than half of the time we actually catch stuff that's relative to the situation that we're in. So those ones that always and Necrophonics always seems to be the best ghost because not everyone can afford a spirit box, but Necrofox is probably one of the best spirit boxes that you can buy app wise, because it's only 15 bucks and then you have it forever. So it works pretty well. Those two I always put my stamp of approval on when it comes to stuff. But yeah, with your phone, it's probably the greatest device you can have investigating. It has a flashlight, recorder, camera, and you can download apps and use it. So I always tell everyone the best device
Absolutely.
investigation is your phone when it comes to.
Absolutely. Especially for starting off. And like you said, there's great apps. It's just, I think it's vital to know the bullshit ones. You got a few that I just don't quite believe in that I can't really name off top, but there's a few of them that I just think are bogus. But if you use the right ones, like we're naming and you're naming, I think you're all right to a good start. These are, apps designed by people. Some of them are just spitting out words, but that's what they are. They're word generators. So if you're in the middle of nowhere where there's no spirits even around close, you might get some random shit that don't make sense. But if you take it to the right place, you're gonna get a kick out of it and realize, holy shit, like this is really, relevant to what's going on. And you start to realize some of this stuff is actually pretty usable. It's pretty insane, to be honest, how far, phones have came.
Well, they have radio devices and put it since where you can pick up cell phone signals and stuff like that. So it's all about applying the technology that's already in it to work for you. So, but I guess one of my main hopes is that science starts taking the paranormal seriously to a point where they start inventing or at least in trying to create technology that we can use to actually better to study the paranormal world. In your guys' journeys, you've been doing this for a year. So, but this question could go to something that's outside of it or in of it. But what was your scariest experience while investigating, or possibly in your own individual lives?
For me, it had to be with my son. So when my son was born, to like help me, quote unquote, like not be scared of like the paranormal, for some dumbass reason, I would always want to watch like YouTube videos with like Ouija boards. And like, which, yeah, like people playing Ouija boards. It was so dumb. And it wasn't until one time, like, I came across a video where like Zozo came on the Ouija board or whatever. And like, I thought nothing of it. I did get scared, but to me, it was just like, oh, it's just a video. After that, I was experiencing like it was like I would wake up in the middle of the night for my son, to put him back to bed. And then out of nowhere, it would start off as like stomping, walking, and then running, and I would get like this very cold breeze of air out of nowhere. And it wasn't until one time, and I think this is the last time that that time happened. It was 3 a.m. My son woke up, put him back to bed. I heard the stomping. I really needed to use the restroom, so I had to walk from one side of the room of the house to the other side. And as I'm walking, like I put this on my kids, I'm hearing three knocks as I'm walking. So like I come out of my room and I hear it on the door. I walk by the kitchen. I hear three knocks on the garbage can. I keep walking. Then when I get to the front door, I hear three knocks. I live in a mobile home, so just to like let you know the length of it, right? I get to the hallway where the bathroom is, and it's like just cold. So I'm like, oh my God. So I'm sit down. And I'm just like, I wonder if I'm gonna hear it again. Now I hear the last three knocks coming from my kid's room. And like, I literally got up, I did my business, and I ran back to my room. And that night was definitely one of the scariest nights for me. Since then, like, I'm very iffy about talking regarding that. What is it, like the Ouija demon or whatever? And like, just watching any type of like Ouija board videos. I have teens now, so like I'm always on top because I don't know. I'm very big on like what you watch can definitely bring some type of energy in your home. And that was honestly like the scariest experience for me.
Have you experienced any of that since then?
So not anything heavy like that anymore. Sometimes I hear like what is it like? The walking, the stomping. I'll feel maybe like from time to time, like things peek out of the closet, but not as scary as that. Like ever since that night, I stopped experiencing like the heavy stuff. What we experience now, I feel like, I don't know if it's just like us being sensitive or just like, I do like tarot readings and things like that. So like my room in general, it's like amped up with energy. So I just got used to that, but nothing heavy like that anymore.
That's good.
Yeah.
With me, I mean, I'll go like experience wise or investigation wise. I want to say investigation would be, so there's an infamous story that you can Google called Crybaby Bridge, and it's actually pretty like common to hear about because there's this same story in multiple cities, but it does date originally from South Carolina, where I was born and raised. And we went to go check it out one day, and you know, basically the story is that a mom and her daughter died right there, or a mom and her baby died. I don't know what gender. Died right there at this bridge. And if you go out there, park your car and get out and start, you know, provoking that, I got your baby, I got your baby, she'll supposedly come out. You might hear her, you might see her if you're lucky. That's the tale on it. So we went out there messing around, and I'm in the car, the back of the car, with two friends that were skeptics and didn't believe in this. And essentially everything's okay. And I just look to the side of me. I'm on the far right side. There's two in the back row with me to the left. They look out the left side and they say they saw a white mist come out the water. They didn't say it looked like a person. They said they saw a white mist come out the water, and it was massive enough to scare them. So they started freaking out, and we're like, "Get the hell out of here! Get the hell out of here!" So they start the car, they swerve out. We're going down a dirt road because Crybaby Bridge, it was rebuilt as an actual bridge, but today it's, when you go see the original one in South Carolina, it's just a, it's a bridge on a dirt road with water running over under it. Anyways, we continued down the dirt road, and we probably had to been going 2 or 3 miles into the woods, and we realized we're not getting anywhere. We looked to our left on the way out the woods, and we see this old, huge, abandoned church, and it looked scary as hell. I mean, it was very movie, haunted movie like, you know, and it was just that feeling like before going in, I already know there's some weird energy in that building. So of course, you know, being from the South, we're like, hell yeah, let's go in there. So we hop out the car, we run over there, we go in the building. As soon as we get in the building, the very first thing that happened is that we hear a tone from a piano key being hit. Ding. And we were like, what the hell was that? Of course, we don't know what it is until we go searching and we find the piano. When we get to the piano, there's no keys on it. All the keys are ripped off of it, and they're all over the ground. There's no keys left on the, you know, to hit. So we didn't understand that, but we heard a very distinctive piano note hit when we went inside the building. So anyways, me and a couple friends decided, you know, it'd be a good idea to grab some of the items from the church, which were like piano keys and stuff like that, a couple of other items from the church, and we took it with us. On our way out, everybody's leaving, and I'm the last to leave. And I felt a air mass hit me in my back, and it was so forceful that it was actually enough to budge me forward half a step or so. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm telling you, it was genuinely enough to feel like a person lightly pushed you. So as I'm walking out the building, it really felt like a genuine, you need to get the hell out of here. So when that happened, I took the hell off. We got gone. We went home, and me and the other buddy of mine that actually kept some of the stuff left behind at that building, we both got sick. We both got sick. We started going through stuff. Weird things happened that both of us, and mind you, we're young as hell at this time. This was when my mom started training me at the very start to do all of this. So I had to have been like 10 or 11, maybe 12 tops when I went to that building. And you know, it's stained me to this day. I'm 28 years old, and that's probably like, in my opinion, like the craziest up-to-date thing that I've ever experienced is hearing that piano key, finding the piano, no keys on it, leaving this building and getting fucking shoved. And you know, of course, I've seen and heard crazier stuff than that, but it was that physical, and the significance of the story, you know, it's like that sympathetic connection to that time frame. That's where it all started for me. So today, that's like what I use as my story of what was the coolest slash craziest investigation, or whatever you want to call it, like, you know, exploring that got all of this started, to be honest.
Yeah, you broke rule number one of investigations. Never take anything from a location.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. That was kids
Oh,
being dumb, you know. That was a good idea to us that, you know, back then.
it's never ends well. Now you, Monta, you talked a little bit about you have some you're working on trying to activate, you know, a psychic mediumship ability and stuff like that. But in your guys' time investigating, have you worked with any psychic or mediums?
I actually,
No.
not in our investigations. I have a very close friend of mine who, she is a psychic medium, so she kind of like trains me a little bit, like what to look at for, you know, just trusting myself and things like that, but not really.
Yeah, like she's put it to work. We've been on investigations and she's called shit. We've been out in public hanging with friends at parties and stuff like that, like, you know, a year or so ago, and like, you know, she's called stuff before it's happened while we were out in public, like giving us warning so we could actually get the hell out of there safely. And she was very on spot with it. That shows me that her sensitivity is actually pretty, you know, like me, like I'm hella empathetic. I can feel the energy in a room, I can feel people's emotions, but I don't have I'm not sensitive enough to where I'm like calling stuff and stuff like that. Just enough to trust my instincts type of thing. Where with her, anytime she feels or sees something or whatever, foresees, yeah, if she mentions it, I'm gonna take it serious because I'm one of those guys where when it comes to mediumship, I am extremely skeptical. I just don't take that from anybody. So I really have to trust you. And I've been through the ringer with her. So we've been in the field together and literally out and about and just, calling stuff on the spot, man. Like genuinely to the T.
Well, it's interesting. We recently did an episode on spiritual awakening. A lot of people, a lot of our listeners were asking our own idea of spiritual awakening, how we got to where we are now. And a question that we always get asked, can anyone be psychic? And the answer is yes, but not 100% to what everyone thinks, right? And it goes the
Yeah.
same as that everyone can play basketball, but not everyone is good. Some people
No, yeah,
are.
not everybody goes to the NBA. Yeah.
And not everyone gets remembered throughout history as one of the best of all time, or in the grouping of the mentioned names who will live out through immortality forever. So, yeah, everyone can be psychic, but not everyone can be good. A rare amount can be great. Even few can be, and of course, your Michael Jordans, your LeBron James, your Kareem Abdul-Jabbars, right? Names that get remembered throughout history. So, if you are training your mind in order to do so and be more woken to it, yeah, great. We need more people in the world that are attuned to the other side. But there's also something that happens with investigators. The more you spend with the paranormal, the more you spend investigating in haunted locations, your sensitivity to the other side gets it's higher. Have you
Yeah.
got the ringing in the ears yet?
The what?
The ringing in the ears.
Yeah.
And what I was told by one of my mentors, when I started getting into the thing, he's in his 40s, been in the psychic game since like longer than I've been alive. But he told me that when your right ear rings, it's a warning. When your left ear rings, it's you to pay attention, to listen. Yeah. So I've only experienced it every now and then when it comes to, well, when any situation is a call for it. But I noticed investigators that we've been working with for a while, who've been in the game a while, they get that sensitivity. They start feeling the energy of the spirits around them. It becomes almost like a natural instinct to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Would you guys ever work with psychic mediums if one came around that maybe wanted to bring an
Yeah.
investigator?
My mom, aside of her, she does it all. Like I said, she got me on to doing this, and night trackers exist because of my mom. She's been doing paranormal investigating her whole life and trained me on it. She does psychic mediumship, and she's extremely, extremely good at it. These two are pretty close. So she keeps in cahoots with my mom. They talk all the time and stuff. And my mom's down in South Carolina, and I'm out here in Utah, taking care of the kids and stuff. So when we get the chance, I actually have to get her down there, to for them to actually work together. But that is in the plan to get in contact, or excuse me, get up with each other in person and start making that a common thing to where we can like record episodes, involve my mom more. My mom talks to someone named Patty. I'm pretty sure you've heard of her. Her name's Patty Negri. She's been on a lot of investigations with ghost hunters and stuff like, or ghost adventures. She's been on a lot, other shows. But yeah, we love her. We think that she's a good, mentor when it comes to that type of stuff too. So that's somebody we'd love to work with. Of course, outside of my own mom, I don't want to be that kid that's like, yeah, man, just gonna do it with my mom. But yeah, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be doing this. So yeah, I would say mom number one, Patty number two, and then after that, it's more just like who reaches out, like who do we naturally cross paths with and end up working with. But we're all up for it though, for sure.
And you're doing this. What has been your favorite investigation?
Together, definitely the
Oh,
exchange
the
building.
exchange, yeah.
Yeah, we have an episode that we named Poltergeist Activity.
One of our very first
Yeah.
investigations for sure.
Yeah. We did a couple. We didn't like them. We weren't satisfied with them. It was honestly some super dangerous areas that we ended up having to leave and not do it overnight, but we just investigated during the day. Didn't really like that. It wasn't enough for the show we're trying to give people. So we ended up like taking those off. The first legit lockdown we did was the exchange building in Ogden. And
It was a lot of activity there for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, it's up to date, me and her favorite for sure. That's what we talk about anytime someone's like, hey, so what so far, what's your guys' favorite? Ogden Exchange Building. We actually went to go do a part two a couple of weeks ago, and sadly, it's falling apart, and they're about to just break it down because of how bad it's gotten in the
Yeah.
neighborhood it's at. So
Extremely dangerous.
sadly, we can't go do a part two to that one, but that, yeah, that's our favorite.
This is in Utah.
Yeah, this is in Utah.
Well, I guess your I'm say your state's not really known for much, but I'm assuming the West was around that period of time. So you guys probably had a lot of hotels, motels, or ghost towns that were probably more
Yep.
popular time of the West, early to late 1800s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, we went through the canyons recently and to an old like mining town. It's like a ghost town today. We did an investigation there called the Devil's Playhouse. We really only scratched the surface on that one, really, because we stopped at one big building called the Devil's Playhouse, but there was literally a whole town that's abandoned that we didn't get to touch because it was so dark and it was treacherous. So we did what we could at the Devil's Playhouse and we ended up having to leave, you know, be one of those things where we just have to get back to it another day for part two and three, et cetera.
Utah has always been a weird state. It's like I always kind of wanted to go there just for certain places. Maybe Salt Lake City because it has its own famous haunting places there.
Oh yeah. We're supposed to collab soon. I don't know if you guys have if you heard of a Ghost Club Paranormal. It's the two girls. I think one's originally out of like Scotland, but they're out here in the US. They touch all places, but
We follow them, they follow us. So I see their stuff every now and then, but yeah, I know who you're talking about.
yeah. So we're trying to work out like doing something with them, and they had mentioned, I guess through their research, about some hotels that were haunted out here. We knew about them, but we just haven't gotten to them yet. But we're talking about possibly doing a collab at one of the hotels out here, you know, where a lady basically threw all her kids out the window, including herself. And yeah, it's a big mess, but we got a lot of those types of places out here that we want to touch.
And when you guys do your investigations, at the end of the night, what would you consider a successful investigation?
Oh no. What you go?
I don't know. I like to hear, see, and get like responses a lot. Like I feel like if I don't get like sounds or like direct answers, whether that's from the spirit box, the spirit talker, or the Ross and things like that, to me it's not like I feel like we just kind of like went there for nothing. But if I do get like constant responses from whatever is there, to me that is like a successful like investigation.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I want to hear what she had to say. I only had done it for a year. So, you know, I was curious what she would say, but I have to agree. I think it's the same with me. You know, intellectual conversations are always nice. Like if you feel like you have an intelligent and you're not just like hearing residual energy or something like that of that sort, you're actually talking with something that hears what you're saying and, you know, can go back and forth. That's amazing. Any type of on spot response is always amazing. I think it's like we already know in our community it's like this. It's like to hear something's one thing, to see something's another, but to hear it, see it, and capture it, that's just like, you know, it's like that's gold. So it's like that's what we go for. And that's only happened so many times where we actually see something, caught it on camera, see it on camera, hear it, all of this stuff. Yeah, I would consider that, you know, the best. You know, if you get out of there safe and you get to go home, I think that's successful on its own. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, of course, you always look for that, the rush you get from a good, you know,
Scare.
yeah, a good scare through the investigation, that thrill we do thrive for.
And because I noticed one of you guys' newest episodes was a home investigation. How many home investigations have you guys sorry, how many home investigations have you guys actually done?
Two.
Yeah, together too. With me all together, I would probably say maybe like 18 to 20 throughout my life. Yeah, but together we've done two. We've done actually a couple more, but like jotted down, like actually on film too.
And what were the situations with those homes?
Here at my mom's, it would be my kids and my nephew getting scared that kind of like intrigued us to like find out like what's going on. And then with the other one, a close friend of mine had asked me to do a cleansing for her. But on the way to her house, I was just like picking up some weird ass shit. And I was like, hey, like, is this what you're dealing with? And she's like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm dealing with. So we went to her house, and immediately as we're pulling up to her house, like it was like a very, very, very like gross
Horrible,
feeling.
man. Genuinely horrible.
Yeah. So then after that, like we were talking with her, and I was like, hey, like if you want, we can do an investigation here, see what comes up. And she was like all for it because she doesn't know what's going on with her house or anything like that.
Yeah. And from the jump all the way to the end, it was a ride, man. I mean, it was bad. Like, just for starters, I want to sum it up for you, but for starters, when we got there, as soon as I got out the car, mind you, she's just there to do a reading and she wanted me there because she felt off. So I went with her to the reading, or not the reading, the
Cleansing.
cleansing. Excuse me. I get out the car. I'm already running EMF because that's just me. I'm like, I want to see if there's like something going on at this lady's house. So I'm running an EMF. And as soon as I step on the ground, dude, it's like through the roof in the red. And I'm like, holy shit, consistently. I'm like, there's no like huge power supply or any source that should be doing this, you know, right here on a normal grounds. This should be a lot lower than this, et cetera. You know, the get down. We go in the trailer and or the house, and it's the same thing all throughout the home. It's right there in the middle of the room. I would put the EMF high and it drops. I put the EMF low and it drops. But right here in the middle of the room, throughout the whole house, it's a steady, you know, through the roof EMF reading. And we're like, there's either something causing that, like, you know, natural that can be dangerous for a human, or unnatural, which could still also be dangerous for a human. So, you know, we were like, hey, you know, we're willing to do this cleansing on you or your house, whatever you feel suited. But, you know, I don't think we want to do that. I think we actually want to do an investigation if you're okay with that. And, you know, we ended up getting them to do like the consent forms and all that to actually shoot the show there. And, you know, because I said we weren't supposed to initially do that. It was just a cleansing. But she was all for it. And, you know, it was kind of like a way for us to get more info before attempting anything. Because, like you said, if you try, you know, a cleansing or attempt something of that nature at the wrong place at the wrong time, you might piss something off. You might make it worse. It might not do anything. So it's like, you know, we didn't want to do it for no damn reason, especially if it was something malevolent like we were thinking it was. So that's how that went. And then we went home to end the story. We went home. After just after the interview, and after the interview, after the cleansing, her cleansing, she didn't cleanse the house, but she cleansed the lady who owned the home. And we went home that day, knocked out for hours. Did an interview a few days later with these people that's included in the episode, knocked out for hours. And I mean, this was going on for a whole week. We were depressed, stuck in bed. You know, I'd go to work, come home. She'd work, come home. That was it. So we knew, like, okay, we need to cleanse ourselves. This is getting serious. We might have a fucking attachment. Like, something might have came with us for the first time. So yeah, we broke out stuff and got serious and ended up cleansing each other because of it. And things have been honestly a lot better since, you know, like truly have. So we really don't even want to go back to that house after that.
What has been the situation with them?
We keep in touch. She could tell you more on that because, you know, she's the one who actually speaks with her.
Yeah, she said that the first night, well, when we did the investigation and they went back home, she said she couldn't sleep. She's like, I felt like the energy is like here. So I was like, okay. I sent her some like Archangel Michael prayers. And then after that, I checked in with her 2 days after that. And she says, like, everything has been okay with the home. She's like, it doesn't feel aggressive anymore. We still hear things here and there, but I can finally sleep. That's what she said, because they couldn't sleep. They kept getting woken up and things like that.
That's good. Remind me at the end, I might have a permanent solution. Speaking on such, there are, in my time of doing the podcasting and investigating, I have come to find out there are three kinds of team. Did you guys say something?
Nope.
I just heard a voice real quick.
If it came from our end, I wouldn't doubt it, bro. This is where we did our first house call episode, is where we're at now. It's her family's house. And yeah, I mean, it was a wild episode. So I wouldn't doubt if you heard something from our end.
Especially in this room.
It sounded like a woman. Just like it sounded like say here or say this. It was real quick. Megan will find it when she edits the podcast. Not the first episode we ever had EVPs in, but it's been a long time. Anyway, what I was saying, three teams that I've come across. And these are the only three teams I've noticed in paranormal investigation world. Your first are your clout chasers. These are investigators who are strictly out there just to get fame. All they care about is getting footage, getting stuff, and they could care less what happens to the location or the home they're there to help. And it just leads to more turmoil and things like that. And you can see
Absolutely.
away. Those are the clout chasers. And then you got the second level investigators. The investigators who actually have respect for the dead, who will go out there with the simple question, I want to know what happens to us after we die. So they go out there with their equipment, they go out there with their knowledge, and they have respect for the dead as they're there and everything they encounter and stuff like that. Those are actual paranormal investigators because they're there to investigate the paranormal. Of course, they do recordings and they show information because they want to prove what's been happening to them their entire life to other people
Absolutely.
that
Yeah.
is real. And there's a third. And my listeners know that they've heard me say this a million times already. But the third is solely to my team. because my team goes with one goal in mind, not to investigate, not to collect information, not to collect video evidence, which probably is to our detriment because we've experienced a lot of stuff that'd be worth recording. And we're getting better at it now. But we go there solely to eradicate all dark energy from a location and have every single spirit that wants to leave cross over, making the location that we were just at 90 to, if not more, percent less haunted than when we found it, which again will make us an enemy to cloud chasers because we're taking away their bread and butter. We're taking away their whole reason investigating locations we go to. But we've gotten very good at it in our 3 years of doing this so far. But you guys automatically, disagree with cloud chasers. I assume as much of you guys would count yourself as actual paranormal investigators who go out and try to prove that this stuff is real to
Yeah,
others.
looking for remedies, coming up with resolutions is our biggest thing. I actually made that very clear. I love that you said that because I think it's a really vital thing to this type of work that we do. And I mentioned it at the very end of our episode that just making it understood that we're not, that we want to get a resolution. We don't want to just close out and be like, all right, cool, got a bunch of cool shit, let's get out of here. And like you said, you just leave these people in this stirred up pot. But yeah, looking for resolutions to know about how to close properly. Maybe sometimes that might just require speech. Sometimes it requires more than that. Hence why we weren't so quick to be like, oh yeah, we'll cleanse your house. We know better than that. So it's like, we're gonna kind of evaluate the situation, see what we get out of it. Now, of course, we do love to, of course, record and make our episodes and stuff like that because we want to jot this down for like our family to watch and our friends and close ones who love doing this. Growing up with my mom, it was a company and we didn't get to do that type of stuff. My mom, we had the tools, we had the team, we had the clientele. We actually had people on demand on the regular, that we were helping out. But it was a whole nother ball game to, the day and age that we're in now. And me and her meeting, it was just like, yeah, this is destined. Let's go out there and give these people a good show, but also more importantly, like you said, you're taking care of things. You're really there to fix and not focus on getting views. You know what I mean? Getting views and a huge fucking fan base. Like that's not the whole goal there.
Yeah, granted, majority of us. How old are you guys?
28.
Well, I'm about 36. I would say from my time when I was younger than you at the time, but majority of investigators are around my age range. We kind of got in the game because of Ghost Adventures. I'm assuming majority of us did anyway. Granted, now after you know how the sausage is made, watching Ghost Adventures is like, okay, so obviously they're bullshitting because I've been doing this less time than they have, and I don't react even remotely how they do at a location. And these guys have been doing 20 something years, still acting like it's day one. So, okay, now I understand. Not to entertainment. Granted, what?
And you can spot it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Now I get what everyone's saying. This is you guys are just out there for entertainment. It's not actual investigating. Okay. It's kind of a letdown. It's like you are my hero. Why? And I just no. It was kind of a letdown. It's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real. But that's good. That's good to hear that you guys are wanting to pursue this and keep it going. Well, obviously because you were born into it. So, but I guess one of the final things I always like to ask everyone is, what is your hope for the paranormal when it comes to the future?
I think it's like kind of I want to say you touched subject on this unless I'm remembering wrong. Just like the skeptics in the world, the scientific side of this that is kind of like the opposite of what we're doing. You got people, it's like at the end of the day what we're doing, it's not loved by everyone and we want it to be more open to the world. That's kind of like our objective with it.
Exposing.
Yeah, it's just to help it get it out there and expose what really could be about, and that's like that's what we thrive off of this for is just collecting and stuff like that to show the world. Really for ourselves. Like I said, we're not so big on trying to impress everybody. So it's more just about like us, like just feeling good about ourselves, going to a place, getting good evidence, and then feeling like we helped the situation. And of course, never, making things worse and shit like that. So you.
I'm in the same place. I mean, I've never been a skeptic. I've just always been scared of like not knowing what it is or like not really knowing what's out there. So doing the investigations has definitely helped me like not only have an open mind, but just like learning in each investigation, whether that's me being part of the investigation or watching it. So de definitely it's just knowledge.
That's always been my hope. It's like I was saying before, my hope is the scientific community studies this as much as they study any other form of science, because if the one problem with it is that it's not repetitive. You can't repeat it over and over again. Ghosts are random. You can't create the same situation over and over again. You might get similar results from a certain location, but it's never going to be the same thing. Therefore, they can't conclude it as actual evidence to the situation. Granted, if they invented technology to be able to measure it better, they probably get the answers to what they're looking for. But it would take a certain kind of scientific group to start putting into it. But hopefully, with enough evidence we can show them, it might change their minds and change your perspectives about it. But all good hopes. Well, appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you
Yeah,
for
for
having
sure.
us.
It was fun.
Where can everybody find you guys?
This Night Tracker's on everything. Night Tracker's on Instagram.
TikTok, YouTube.
Yeah, Night Trackers or Night Trackers Paranormal, you'll find us anywhere. Whether you want to watch us or follow us and just stalk us and be creepers, you know?
Well, I hope your guys' investigating adventures go are prosperous, that's for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, man. Likewise, brother.
And as always, you can catch our socials at Hidden the Shadows Podcast on Instagram, Hidden Shadows Paranormal on Instagram, Hidden the Shadows 6 on X, Hidden the Shadows Podcast 2 on TikTok, or links to all our social media, and always listen to us at HiddenTheShadowsPodcast.com. As always, we'll catch your weirdos in the next one.